Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Bob Glanzer grew up on a farm northeast of Huron with dreams of becoming a world champion bull rider, but fourth place in the regional high school rodeo was about as close as he got. Instead, he became a teacher and helped with the rodeo club at Wessington Springs High School. He later served as manager of the South Dakota State Fair in the late 70s, was also superintendent of the grandstand stage shows and events for two decades. During his first year as manager, he had to rush out and buy boots for country legend Johnny Cash just minutes before he took the stage. Glanzer later took a job as an agricultural loan officer for a bank in Huron. He retired 3 years ago. One of his favorite hobbies now is chuck wagon historical reenactments. Last year, his wagon and horses were a part of the South Dakota 125th anniversary wagon train, which followed a path from Yankton to Pierre. Glanzer began writing articles for the regional Prairie Tracks magazine. 50 of them have been collected in a new book. It's called You Can't Unring a Bell. Proceeds will go toward the capital campaign for a new 4-H exhibit hall on the state fairgrounds. Bob Glanzer joins us on the line. And Mr. Glanzer, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, when did you
exciting to be here.
It's great to have you. And when did you start writing these articles for Prairie Tracks magazine?
Well, it was back in January 2011 when they started the concept of this regional magazine called Prairie Tracks. And I was working in a bank in here in American Bank and Trust, and they bought a full-page ad, and part of the deal was that they could have a page in the magazine. So they asked me if I would write an article on banking and interest rates and the economy and the ag industry and those kind of things. And I wrote about maybe an article and half of that, and I was wondering what other people would be interested in writing that. So my writing's kind of gravitated toward personal experiences and some of my young life on the farm and rural school and different things that came up in the life. And after about 50 or so of those articles, decided to put it together in a book.
Now, those initial articles about banking, you just did maybe a couple of those and thought, I have more interesting things to write about that people would be more interested in reading?
And well, I was wondering what two people might be reading those articles, but I thought it might be more effective and more rewarding to write something a little bit more detailed. And I had written a few of those kind of articles earlier and that had never been published, but just wrote them for my own kind of enjoyment. And so kind of all worked, fit together and came together in a pretty nice little assortment of life history, I guess.
Were you reluctant at all to write about your own life, or did this just become natural as you started putting it down on paper?
I think it kind of became a natural little phenomenon. Of course, when you got a little deadline to write an article for a magazine, and it was only a monthly deal. I'm glad it didn't come around more than that. But pretty soon you start thinking about little incidents in your life, and as you think about them, I guess as you write them out, a lot of details come to mind that you probably haven't thought about for years. And so that's kind of how that all came together, I guess.
How were your initial articles received by the readers of Prairie Tracks magazine?
Well, that's been kind of the interesting thing, because I guess very good response from people. I, you know, no matter where you're at in a store or even walking around the state fairgrounds or whatever, basketball games, people will come up and, oh man, I really enjoyed your last article, and keep it up, don't quit. And so that was kind of a lot of the affirmation and the stimulus to do it too, to keep doing it.
So I was only supposed
to write a couple articles to start with, but it kept going and going and going, and so here we are, I guess.
So that encouraged you then, hearing from people saying, yeah, I like what you write about.
Yeah, and I think the biggest response I was kind of needed is that I have listened to tons of other people's stories when they were growing up and things that happened to them, and my thought always was, well, you guys should be writing your own Prairie Track articles, because there's just so many of those great memories from back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, that every time you read an obituary of some 80 or 90 year old person, you think, man, there's just a ton of stories that just went up in a vacuum that aren't going to be heard by anybody.
In writing these articles, your personal reflections, do you think that you're helping to capture a unique slice of South Dakota life, maybe even preserving a history of life as it was in the 50s, 60s, even on up today, that history of life in and around this part of South Dakota, around Huron?
Well, I think it's kind of a unique little part of the history of South Dakota, and you know, there's a lot of other people that experienced these same things that as we went through the grade school, the rural grade school, and growing up on the farm and, you know, experiencing all those things. Yes, I think it's maybe a part of history that probably has not been really focused on a lot. I know there's lots of books and stories out there like that, but, you know, these stories all come from real life happenings. I don't think I made up anything as I wrote it. My brother kind of disagrees. He says that's not the way I remember it, but I tell him to write his own stories. But I think it's a nice addition to preserving some history that maybe would never be written.
Well, I think it's interesting that, you know, we hear about, say, for example, rodeo stars from South Dakota, the ones that really hit the big time, like Casey Tibbs, for example. But you write in You Can't Unring a Bell about your dreams of being a rodeo star. But instead, what we get is what, you know, just the life of someone who had an interest in rodeo and wasn't a big competitor, but still helped encourage others, through high school when you're at Wessington Springs. And what I really find interesting in reading articles are some of the, when you were young, when you're interested in being a rodeo rider, and you and your friends just kind of made up your own little rodeo and had some interesting adventures there.
Right. And that's probably a lot of, our particular neighborhood probably wasn't necessarily known as the cowboy world, and so we kind of had to make up our own little games and plans of how we're going to fulfill our little dreams. And, you know, those kind of things really have lasted for a lifetime. In fact, even as we speak here, I'm sitting in Kadoka, South Dakota, and I've been coming out here for about 18 years or better to a rodeo Bible camp, and we spend 4 or 5 days helping these kids learn rodeo events and things like that. You know, yeah, it's been a part of my life. I can't say it's been the major focus of my life, but it's certainly been a big, the horses and the love of the cowboy life and the Old West and all those kind of things have been kind of intriguing to me throughout my life.
You're listening to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with Bob Glanzer, who has a new book out. It's called You Can't Unring a Bell. It's a collection of articles that he wrote for Prairie Tracks magazine. And the proceeds from the book go to a capital campaign for a new 4-H exhibit hall at the State Fair, at the fairgrounds in Huron. And as I mentioned earlier, Mr. Glanzer, you were manager of the State Fair for a number of years in the late 70s. And one of the experiences you write about is Johnny Cash needed some boots. Maybe you can tell us that story.
Okay, that was kind of an interesting thing. You know, Johnny Cash and Minnie Pearl and those kind of people, they came out of the old school of entertainment. And before the show, of course, they all kind of stand behind the stage just chatting and talking with the road manager. And Johnny came up on the stage and he said, notice anything different about me? And we all looked down and his road manager said, not really, Johnny. Well, look at my feet. Well, he had two left black boots on, and they apparently had packed the wrong stuff when they're not enough when they packed to leave on the trip. And so he asked me if I could find some blues. Well, there was a Western store on the fairgrounds, so I ran over there, and they had some black boots, but he wanted 13 or 14, and the biggest they had was like 12. And so I bought them and brought them back, and he put them on. Well, at the end of the show, then he says, told the story about his boots and how those boots were hurting his feet, and he noticed Sherwin Linton, who is a South Dakota country western star of the 50s and 60s, still does some things around and still entertains at the fair. And he was sitting there, and he called him up on the stage and gave a nice tribute to Sherwin and handed him the boots and said, "These boots don't fit me, but they'll probably fit you." And Sherwin made some comment about his shoes, Johnny's shoes never fitting him, and they kind of bantered back and forth. But it was kind of interesting that one way that he got connected with a pretty major star, and Sherwin and I kind of joked back and forth that I really think I should have at least one of those boots in my trophy case too, because but he's still got them in his trophy case, so I can't quite convince him that to give one up.
Now, after your time as manager of the State Fair, you took a job as a loan ag officer in a Huron bank. I'm curious as what that position helped you learn about life in South Dakota, particularly among the ag community.
Yes, that was a great learning experience. I resigned the fair and just walking through one of the banks in town, and one of the officers came up and wondered if I'd ever considered working in a bank, and that was kind of the spark that drove about 33 years of banking experience. And it was a great opportunity to get to know some of the area farm families and farm businesses that were going, and certainly had a great opportunity to be an integral part of their lives and work pretty steady with them over many years and develop some deep relationships, and still I'm encouraged by those relationships today. And even though I've been retired now for about 4 years, still see them around town and still have some great conversations, some great memories of those days.
Do you think that's something that's oftentimes missing, the relationship of bankers, small town bankers, with the customers, with the farmers, the people that are out there doing the work, that you have that one-on-one relationship, that you've known each other for decades at a time?
Right. I think that's maybe something that's missing a little bit in our culture. Just about time I was getting ready to retire, an article came out entitled "Bob the Banker," just kind of ironic that that was the name of the article. And it talked a lot about banking in the good old days, where, the documents for the loans and the security agreements were pretty simple, and the commitments were long-term. And when you took the job, you assumed that it was going to be a lifetime of work, and you're going to put down your roots in this particular community. And it just so happened that I grew up in that Huron neighborhood and knew a lot of people and pretty well understood the culture and the way that things were put together. And we're now, a lot of times the younger officers see a particular job, maybe in like the Huron market or some of the rural markets, as just a stepping stone to some bigger opportunities. And then also now the culture has changed to the point where they don't really even have to work to collect loans that might be a little troublesome, where, we had to develop a relationship that we knew was long-term and we knew it was for real, and that we'd be part of both the good days and maybe some of the bad days too. And maybe some of that mentality is missing from those kind of relationships in business the way our communities work today.
Well, Mr. Glanzer, in reading the 50 or so articles in You Can't Unring a Bell, what I come away with is stories of one man's love of life in South Dakota. What do you think is special about life in the state, especially one centered around farming and the cowboy life?
Well, probably the cowboy thing was a little isolated because beside me and maybe one other neighbor kid, there wasn't too many cowboys in our whole township. So, but probably the farming experience really brought out just the development of maybe an attitude of patience, I think a special love and appreciation for animals, knowing the neighbor relationships and how we worked back and forth together and borrowed and lended equipment and, you know, the history of our parents was, you know, hard work and a lot of manual labor. And I guess when I was growing up in the 50s, we probably had a lot of hydraulics and power takeoff and things, so our work was probably a little easier, but still pretty basic. And so I think those traits of my generation especially come through pretty strong and pretty bright in the fact that the work ethic and sticking to a job and a relationship and a community and wanting the community to have the best opportunities that you could possibly encourage with you know, my gifts and skills. I think that's a pretty big part of the life and maybe the tradition and even the legend or the legacy of our farm families today.
We've got about 30 seconds left here, Mr. Glanzer. Finally, I just want to mention that your book, You Can't Unring a Bell, is to help raise money for a new 4-H exhibition hall at the State Fairgrounds in Huron. And when is it expected that work will start on that exhibition hall?
Well, actually, it started last week. They did quite a bit of dirt work last week. And I think we're going to see quite a bit of progress as we go along here now the next. I think they're kind of planning that it'll be pretty much done by the 2016 fair.
Okay, which is coming up in just a few weeks. Well, Mr. Glanzer, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday, and best of luck with the book, You Can't Unring a Bell.
Well, thank you very much.